Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This is Thriller, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's a pleasure to have you with us. My name is Marcus Bella. Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And lurking from the dark is Pete Donaldson.
I like your iPad.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Halloween special, everybody.
Oh, spooky.
It's going to be markedly different from normal Football Rambles.
I'm going to give you the willies.
Pete,
I'm going to put you in a bin bag.
You've already dominated the Halloween headlines.
The Halloween headlines. Silly season Mark 2.
And this time, not with a criminal.
But I was dressed up as a lady, which, and I always thought I knew I'd be in the newspaper somehow.
And you're an expert in consumer electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And espionage.
It's not an iPad, it's a Samsung.
It is a Samsung tablet. Some kind of Galaxy tablet job. But it's beautiful. It's got its own little kickstand, which I quite like.
Do you like that?
If you're listening, Samsung.
I could do with a newer model. This one's got a cassette player with it. Before we talk about the Premier League, England are world champions again, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
so soon after the last one.
It is astonishing how good we are at youth level at the moment.
Easy.
Basically, put every single one of them in the England squad for next summer.
Right now. Put them in there right now.
Yeah,
they look like little boys, didn't they? It was funny.
They all look like little boys, Pete. Oh, yeah, they're under 17.
slightly altered quote from Jaws. We're going to need a bigger plane.
Yeah.
I'd say 2-0 down to Spain. 25 degrees. 70% humidity.
Let's say Spain under 17s when we say Spain, please.
No. For crying out loud, man. This might not happen again.
Marcus.
It will happen again.
Even though in the World Cup, the restrictions for the amount of people you can have in your squad will remain the same. No, but are you still advocating the idea of taking every single academy team player that's won something over the last year or two? So we've got to have a huge jumbo jet full of all English players.
Tenth futsal team.
Well, what I'm going to say is
beach volleyball.
A lot of the under-17s and some of the under-20s, obviously depending on their ages, but they'll still be able to play it at age cap tournaments. And they'll be wanting to play, have dreams perhaps playing for the senior side. Take a look at the World Cup, sit them down, maybe buy the Dags and go, careful what you wish for. Cherish this time.
Knock the edges off. How do you feel the Dags would have reacted to that result?
Oh, they'd have loved it. They would have loved it.
I thought...
Cans of Best being popped all over.
I was in India. Cobras all around.
Yes. Yeah.
And poppadoms.
Mango lassie for the kids. Lovely old job.
It's absolutely wonderful, and it is getting a bit predictable.
I thought James Milner played very well.
He did, actually.
He was solid.
James Milner, last seen, absolutely beside himself, fuming that Mo Salah missed a penalty kick for Liverpool.
He was, yeah.
Because Milner is Mr. Reliable on that front.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. But, Tom Heaton is a number three for the other 17 as well. Lovely lad, and there we are.
It was good to see Sonny Pike up front. And to be fair, England did a great job knocking out Freddie Adu UCSA in the earlier rounds. It's good all round. It is good all round.
It was just nice to see an England player with a big old smile on his face just going, yes, this is brilliant. And I enjoyed the individual celebrations that a couple of them tried to look a bit cool. Yeah. But then completely wiped out by everybody just piling on the pitch and all the subs jumping around and stuff.
What I loved is when the third went in, everyone was... Because it did seem quite inevitable. Mm. When England started to turn the game around, even though we were 2-0 down, there was no panic. And I thought, you are disrespecting the traditions of this country. And they went 3-2 up and it was, this is it, surely. And then the fourth went in, pile on the fifth. Ay! It was like when England beat Germany 5-1. When they were all going in, you were like, this is weird, but I'm enjoying it.
Is it fair to say the future of the Spanish backline isn't really where it should be?
I don't know how they must feel.
Marcus, I just want to hone in on this a little bit because you do seem like you were really enjoying this.
I was enjoying it far too
nice
much.
Nice to see live football on terrestrial television. But
I agree with that. That's another
BBC
victory.
That's, lovely old job.
Yeah. That's definitely true. But when you watch like a horror movie and something's going really well for a protagonist within the horror movie, and you think, I am enjoying this for them on their behalf.
Yeah.
This is going to go south at some point. Yeah. Were you not feeling a bit like that?
Yeah, I think so. But are Russia going to kind of put out the banners when England turn up saying, we know what you did last October?
Can we get a star on our shirt for it?
Half a star.
Yeah.
An under 17 star. Could they not have used a better studio? I don't know whether you saw any of the BBC Two production, but it was like their fifth studio or something like that. It would look like local news.
Well, the studio we used to have to use before we had our own one. Marcus, I don't know about you, but I didn't think Phil Foden looked very good. Just try and flash out some Man City listeners.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if any of you have noticed, but I don't think there's been a Man City supporter in the last 48 hours who hasn't mentioned to someone around about a player called Phil Foden.
That's right.
I didn't think he looked that good. Well, we're joking.
I just enjoyed the alliteration.
There's a number of Championship clubs who will look forward to having him online. I think that's that, yeah.
Should we have a little
sweepstake? He will never bother the first team shirt.
Let's have a sweepstake to see how many Premier League minutes those players can notch up between now and, let's say, the Qatar World Cup.
Do any of them play for Liverpool?
Yeah. I know, mate.
Klopp will throw them in.
Someone actually said, it's going to be great, but not for this World Cup. Maybe I'll shut up. How many times? No, not 2002, 2006. That's the one. That was the one.
I remember in the late 90s, me and a few pals just chatting, waxing lyrical about how good our squad would be in like 2006.
Yeah.
And how do we get on in 2006?
It was very good.
I was just thinking, that's not bad.
I was going to say, can we get back to the quarterfinals, please? That's what the great hope of this is, that we may well get back to, at least playing 4 or 5 games at the World Cup. Although with the new FIFA rules coming in, when everybody gets to qualify and you get one game and that's it, and it's a 200-team tournament or something. It's like the Coupe de France.
You should be happy with that.
I'm very happy with that. All my teams will be there.
Yeah.
Scotland, Ghana, England.
Were you out of your seat when the fifth one went in?
I don't think I was in my seat at all.
Jim's not been seen since then. We've not even mentioned why he's not here.
He went out there for it. Anyway, we must move on to the Premier League because I'm getting far too giddy. Crystal Palace, they're still rock bottom, but they're moving in the right direction in the league.
They played okay.
They did.
Well, I've never seen... I say never, I support Portsmouth. For a while, I haven't seen that level of despondency that I saw in Joe Hart.
Oh, Joe Hart.
Yeah.
Joe Hart's probably thinking, the one time I do bloody play well.
No one's going to remember this. Matthew Charles' photograph on the touchline of Roy the Boy and Slaven Bilic in two very different emotional states, let's say. Fantastic photograph.
It was. Yeah, but they were all worse, so very upset with Mikel Antonio. That's you read between the lines. They can't say that.
They were really pissed off with him.
Joe Hart used the word unprofessional, didn't he? So we're unprofessional. That was unprofessional to do that. It's the closest you're going to get. I've never seen in a post-match interview, even when emotions are running high, from memory, I've never seen a player call out another teammate by name at that point. That was as close as you're probably going to see.
The only time that it happened with a manager calling out a player...
Managers do it quite a lot.
No, they do, but strongly, I suppose, in very, very similar or almost identical circumstances, was Gerard Houllier on David Ginola. Yeah, the French side, when he tried to cross the ball in the corner, they were against Bulgaria.
He never played again.
I don't think he played for France again.
Right, okay.
Because they failed to qualify for the 94 World Cup, and it was quite similar. But I do think it's a little bit harsh on Antonio.
The thing is, Marcus, if England applied that logic, we have no players.
Well, under 17s, mate, they can all step in. But
I'm really disappointed in the number one, the number two. Yeah. Wait.
All of it, every single player. Well, when Joe Hart said, you know, unprofessionalism, and obviously he is talking about that particular incident, and yes, I do understand, but is it not unprofessional to have the worst running stats in the league thus far? That's unprofessional.
Yeah.
You know, I think to pinpoint that moment, the thing is, if Antonio tried to hold the ball in the corner and someone kicked the ball away from him and they went and scored, and you know, another person would have said, well, hang on, you had two players running into the box with only one Palace defender. Why on earth didn't you cross it? That could have killed the game there. You know, it's just...
Well, I know what you mean. But
there were
three people attacking for no reason at that point.
Yeah, well, that's a part of it. Maybe Antonio thought to himself, oh, hang on, I'll try and cross it. It was a poor cross, but that can happen.
But he doesn't need to do that. He can either draw a foul, he can commit a foul, which means they can all get back in their spots. If he had committed a foul at that point, it's reasonable to suggest, if he had committed a foul at that point, by the time they'd taken the free kick, the ref would have blown up.
Yeah,
so he could have done any of those things.
He could have done, but two defenders letting Zaha turn in the box, you know. I mean, that's not great defending, is it?
Well, Zaha never stopped going, to be fair. He really did kind of keep on going from...
He was great. I'd love to have seen how despondent Joe Hart was. I'd love to have seen a post-match interview ago. You had a really good game there, Joe, and you made quite a lot of genuinely very, very good saves. You didn't save that one then, did you?
Would you have traded the other saves for that one?
But Bilic was absolutely gutted as well, wasn't he? I know it's a huge cliche, but that is they were all going knocking about like they had lost the game.
That's understandable.
I mean, it was a big match, a big effort in midweek. I think that's fair to say. Fonte, Cresswell as well going off. They were really so positive up until that point, but I think they just lost due to their injuries. They had players going off. They just looked a bit haggard, to be honest. They just needed
I think Palace were the better team though, and the draw was the minimum they could have expected.
Well, Hodgson said it would have been criminal had they not have got something.
I agree. They had so many more shots. They had quite a lot more possession from what I saw as well.
Well, the way West Ham went ahead was like Roy must have been furious because they were complaining about Zaha not getting a penalty, and they just sort of downed tools, and West Ham went up the other way, and Chicharito finished the move off, and it was kind of the same with the Ayew goal as well, who scored an excellent
goal. It did feel like from nowhere they were 2-0 down. Mm. Like going into the half-time 2-0 down, it felt like, what?
It just looked like the intensity wasn't there, and like Roy's just like, he must have put a rocket up there, bum-bums.
He must have done. There was a lovely Opta stat concerning Chicharito. All 41 of his Premier League goals have been scored from inside the box.
Ah, beautiful.
Amazing. And only Tim Cahill has a higher 100% record. 56 out of 56.
Speaking of footballers who come from around that area,
Mexico.
I've been saying Jorge Campos all my life. It's Jorge, isn't it?
Jorge.
Jorge.
Yeah, but I mean George.
He retired ages ago. So how often is that coming up?
Yeah. Loads of times I spent a good hour watching
I saw you tweeting from the Ramble account. I thought, that's Peter.
Was that your Halloween outfit this year? One of those self-designed Georgie Campos or Jorge Campos.
Well, remember when he did that Nike advert? He was dressed all in black. I was like, disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But it is only a point for Palace. Mm. And they're only on four. And they're 4 points from safety.
I wouldn't be worrying about that at this point. No, personally. Not really. It's long. There's loads of games left.
They're away to Spurs next.
Well, they'll probably lose that. But, I mean, I'm just saying, generally speaking, you wouldn't want to be worrying about their position at this point.
Yeah.
Bilic, he had two games to save his job. What happens now? I don't know. Is he on a zero-hours contract? He's done a really good performance in one match and, you know...
He probably will be working at Sports Direct this time next year. He has two games to save his job if he wins one, doesn't he? If he loses one, that goes down to one.
Oh, okay.
So if
he wins
next time, he's got two games again.
And is it just a rollover if it's a draw?
Yeah, it carries on, yeah.
Does contain mild peril, West Ham. Should have a little sticker on the season ticket.
Oh, they're playing Liverpool next, West Ham.
Yeah, I did feel sorry for old Bilic. But there we are.
Well, we always will.
I think that's a running thing. He's got good will.
It's not surprising that decisions like that get made by a team managed by Slaven Bilic, because tactically he is atrocious, in my opinion. And I've always maintained that.
Unlike Roy the Boy, at a certain level.
Yeah. Yeah, Roy up until gets to about ninth, eighth or ninth in the Premier League.
That'll do.
Yeah, that's all he wants.
That's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah. He's got big Ray Lewington on the bench in him as well. Did you see that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Joined at the hip, those two.
Yeah, big time.
Leicester City have got a new manager.
Mm.
Claude Puel. Lovely start to life as Leicester City manager.
He looked like he was having a gorgeous time.
Oh, towards the end of the game, him and Michael Appleton having a little joke and laughing away, thinking, oh, this has been really, really great. I wonder what the fans are going to think when I turn them to a more dour side.
I can't believe Michael Appleton's so happy about it.
Yeah.
He should have higher hopes.
Well, Puel said after the match, it was a first-class game. Fantastic. And I thought, wonderful. But, he wasn't the most popular down on the South Coast with Southampton fans.
David Unsworth's been copping a bit of stick as well, hasn't he? Copping a huge amount of stick.
He's very much the anti-Appleton, isn't he?
It's funny what... So I can't let this out. And I'm speaking as a man who's, you know, somewhat overweight himself. Is he fat or is he a big unit?
Both.
When he wears, like, tight training tops, it looks like he's got fat guy abs. You know, big bodybuilders have abs, but they're like, they're peninsulas, not peninsulas, but they're like, you know, like when you go out into the sea.
Older wrestlers.
They just look a bit strange.
What do you mean when you go out into the sea?
You go out in the sea and you see like a rock formation just poking out. I'm not diving into that bit of the water. Yeah. And it's just kind of poking out.
Does it look like the Elgin marble?
It's very... they're not actual marbles, you dick.
Pete, carry on.
No. It's because you're married to a geologist. Fuck you.
There was a guy, I forget his name. Pete, you probably know him. The guy who made his name being a paparazzo, and he's got like...
Yes, he had them installed. Mr. Paparazzi, wasn't he?
Might be his name.
Yeah. He was on Big Brothers and he had abs installed, didn't he?
So what Pete's saying is, yeah. Not installed, he's not a computer. He had plastic surgery done.
Did he have his stomach upgraded?
He had abdominal muscles.
Right.
Surgically... put in his stomach.
Oh, really?
So he looked like he had a six-pack. Are you saying David Unsworth might have done that?
Or he might be just concealing a multi-pack of Freya Bentos under there.
True. Aren't we all?
Distinct possibility.
But, so the David Unsworth thing, going back to the point I was going to make, is that Joey Barton made a few very derogatory comments about David Unsworth.
Yeah.
On
too many to collate.
Was it on Twitter, maybe?
Might have been on the radio.
Well, but on TalkSport, I heard him say that he essentially all but admitted that the reason he didn't like David Unsworth is because David Unsworth's delivery to him when he was playing left back and Joey Barton was playing midfield was poor.
Right. Right, there we go.
But I mean, is it fair to say that Unsworth was always going to be that when he finished in the same mold as when...
Like
Rooney's going to pack on the pounds when he finishes, clearly, stuff like that. But he is only 44, so he retired for like 6 years, 7 years, something like that. He ended up at Preston, didn't he?
But if you spent most of your working life as a professional athlete, haven't you earned your right to have a bit of cheesecake?
That's a lot of cheesecake, to be fair. But it is rare to see a younger man in sport looking like that, I suppose. So in 2017, he is a bit of an anomaly, I think it's fair to say.
Why
Barton's bringing up, I don't know.
My feeling about
it is... talking about unprofessionalism.
Yeah, and I was confused with
Barton. Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't know when Barton and him would have played together anyway, so God knows. But
it's unlike Joey.
But my point on the whole thing is that if you are going into training and you're coaching every day and you're on your feet and you're taking coaches, how are you getting fat?
Mm. Well, you used to do a lot of running.
It's a fair point.
You used to jog everywhere.
It's a fair point.
It's perhaps not the side of the Unsworth chat we should be focusing on too.
No.
I feel, is he the right man for the job? Phil Neville certainly thinks he is. Phil Neville knows the club fairly well. And he said, people are saying, oh, well, who's earned their stripes and who knows the club and all the rest of it? And he says, it's got to be David Unsworth.
He probably would have said that, like, Gareth Southgate was a perfect fit. And, you know, maybe it'll prove that he is when we lift that World Cup.
Judge him on his results, Peter.
The Joe Barton quote is, you've got to be fit to lead your troops into battle. Now, I'm not saying you can't manage Everton if you're overweight, but it certainly doesn't look right.
This is after he said he'd been reading the British Army service manual. I mean, it's not the same, is it?
Well, he's a Rangers man, so.
Very much so, yeah.
I enjoyed Thierry Henry having to play interpreter for Puel with Jimmy Carragher.
Oh, yeah.
Clodge went, no, sorry. Thierry had to speak in French.
He's got a lovely speaking voice, hasn't he?
Yes. I was thinking that's got to be the most celebrated interpreter. Possible,
like Thierry Henry.
Yeah, the greatest football interpreter. Like goals per, I don't know, French language skill.
Not the bloke at Chelsea. He used to interpret for.
He's still there.
Was it Ranieri?
He's still there.
Yeah, but do you remember that?
Yeah,
Ranieri would like go on for about, I don't know, 30 seconds to a minute of his tactics of the game, and the guy would just go, well, Claudio thought it was a game of two halves.
There was a translator.
It was a funny old game.
Was there not a translator who got fired for making it up? I'm sure that might be the guy you mean.
That was that not Pardew?
I can't remember.
There was one. We spoke about this. Remember when Pardew was? Well, I'm sure you do remember when Pardew was Newcastle United manager, and he would, I think, tell some of the French lads, or some of the French speaking players, this translator guy who's proper out and out Newcastle fan and had been at the club, and Pardew would give his tactics and say, you know, can you tell the guys?
Well, anyway, he could speak French.
Yeah, and this Newcastle guy, this is what I was told, would then give those players really attacking tactics, like basically his own tactics. Pardew was wondering, why are they not doing this? And it found out, it was like, you get out of it.
I met the French language interpreter for Newcastle United, and he was a Sunderland fan. Which really made me laugh.
Really?
So he could have been like telling...
Dangerous territory.
Yeah. Or it might have been Sunderland in French interpreter who was a Newcastle fan. But either way, it was like, that's interesting, isn't it?
You've got to do a background check on these people.
but going back to Everton,
yeah.
I said earlier, I wouldn't be worried about Crystal Palace's sort of league position at this point. And I wouldn't, because I think they've got a guy in there who could do a job for them and get them out of trouble. But do you wonder with Everton, they're in the relegation zone at the moment.
Yeah.
They don't have a permanent manager. Mm-hmm. David Unsworth, for all his, actually knows the club very well, and he's got his old mate Phil to do a good puff piece for him, and all that stuff you would expect.
Yeah.
He's got no experience at the top level in terms of first team management. It would be a gamble, I think, because at the very least to hire him.
Yes,
they don't really have any other standout candidates that are realistic at this point. Mm. Would you fear for them at this stage in the season, or do you still think it's too early to worry about?
Well, this is the problem that the board have got. I mean, I mean, getting Ronald Koeman was a big name. That obviously hasn't worked out. But if
he refused to play players where they are actually used to playing, which Unsworth seems
but
to have got. I mean, that is a problem.
Certainly
in the first match.
Well, that's a fair point, Pete. But you say that. What were people crying out for when Ronald Koeman was manager?
They
were
saying,
put players in the right positions, play with a bit of width, play with a bit of pace. Well, David Unsworth has done that. They played with Morales and with
in
Lennon.
Two matches, though, which he won.
They were better against Chelsea in the cup. You know, they were. There was
signs
there.
They didn't win against Chelsea.
Sorry.
No.
They played better. Sorry.
But there were signs there. But also against Leicester. Leicester played brilliantly. I know Everton weren't great, but this is the problem that the board have, and this is why I think Unsworth will probably get.
I think he'll get the nod until January, and then whoever comes in.
Well, he'll certainly get a few more games.
I like that Unsworth came out and said, "I want the job." Yeah. A lot of caretaker managers just say, "Well, you know, we'll see how it goes." I want it.
Well, what is the point of bringing someone in when they can't really buy a striker until January anyway? I mean, it's not. They'll probably pick up points. They'll probably pick up a little bit of form at some point. So you know. Run on gas until January and get a striker in with the new manager. Yeah. You know, all results might massively pick up and go until the summer.
But it is a gamble, Luke.
Results might massively pick up. It'll probably be fine.
Yeah. You should run a football club into the ground. but Leicester, though, I mean, Damari Gray, we have to mention him.
Lovely
he had
goal.
A great game.
Lovely goal.
You know, amazing run he did to help get Vardy's goal on the board. I mean... Leicester, it's interesting what's going on there. I mean, Michael Appleton obviously would have, well, I don't know about picked the side, but that is essentially him and Shakespeare's team still. But with the way they played, I mean, Gray's been out the side. A lot of Leicester fans have been trying to campaign for him to be in that starting 11 again. He's only had 12 starts since January 2016. Comes in and plays like that. You think, what on earth has he been doing, spending so much time on the bench? But Puel said, well, in a couple of days, I haven't really had much to do with the team, so we'll see. I think that the fans will hope that he doesn't turn them into a slightly dour side like Southampton were, and actually get that attacking flair going that Leicester had when, of course, they won the league.
But it was always on the break, though, wasn't it? So you still need to be able
to. That's how they scored that goal.
So, yeah, exactly. So I think if he can kind of put his slightly duller football aside for a second, I reckon he kind of fits to a certain extent. He's got that back line organised, or he will do, and the attacking players know how to break. So yeah.
It's all there.
It's all there.
Well, that's the thing. With him taking over Leicester, you've really got a blueprint on in which you need to build on and improve. Whereas at Everton, it's kind of like, oh, blimey, hang on, what should we do?
And he said he wants to seduce Mahrez, which I quite like.
Ooh, hey, it's nice. Beautiful.
With
that accent, he's got a good chance. Stoke got a great win away at Watford.
Let's talk about the Troy Deeney fight.
We didn't see this one. Well, we saw the Troy Deeney fight coming, but we didn't see Stoke getting a win at Watford.
No,
I didn't. Eases the presh on Mark Hughes somewhat, but won't ease the pressure on his handshakes, you would have thought. But Stoke are out of the bottom three into 14th with that win. It was a nice goal, and they really enjoyed that goal on the Stoke City bench.
It was a lovely one.
It was. I mean, it took a slight nick on the way in, but still, you don't want to take too much away. But Mark Hughes, he even sort of simulated a volley, didn't he? And that is food and drink to that man. That is his currency.
He was under a bit of pressure, wasn't he? And, yeah. I mean, Stoke don't even sack that easily, so you really have to be in a vice-like grip before
is that the Is that the only burst. Sort of training and coaching idea Mark Hughes can effectively get across?
Volleys!
Let's just do volleys!
Heads and volleys.
I think that's what it is. He suddenly thought to himself, right, we're going to do a new corner kick routine. You're going to spray out to the edge of the box, you're going to volley it in. And it worked.
Well, I think with Watford, I rate Watford quite highly, as you all know, and I think Marco Silva's a good manager. And I think what we saw against Stoke, and obviously I wasn't at the game, but what I feel like I saw was that if these players who are going to come up against a team who are going to make it hard for them,
yeah,
they need to all be on their game, because they had chances, Watford. Yeah. Richarlison missed another quite easy chance, and he missed quite a few in the game before as well. Kapuwe, who's important for them, he got subbed off, didn't seem like he played very well. Deeney put himself about a bit, wasn't really that effective. All these things add up to a team that if they're going to underperform, they're not going to find it easy, because what they're good at is this tactical thing, is this everyone being on point. And if it breaks down, then Stoke will make it hard for you. And Stoke could probably have won by a couple in the end.
Yeah. Well, Adam had a great chance. Berahino did what he does.
That was a save, though, wasn't it?
I think it was a save. Yeah.
But the Deeney Allen thing was amazing. Because the great thing about it was that was completely Deeney's fault.
And it was a mismatch, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he started digging his thumbnails into Jarana's cheek.
To squish his face.
Yeah. Oh, adorable.
I wonder if that should have been a red.
I think...
Squeezing
it.
Yeah.
But I think you make a good point.
I think the other Joe Allen, the Hartlepool and Chelsea striker, needs more of a head squash than him.
Hartlepool and Chelsea?
I literally don't know who that is.
Joe Allen. Yeah, do you not remember him?
No, I don't remember him, no.
He's living in Newcastle.
We'll get a bit more on Hartlepool later, by the way.
He did stand up recently at a night with Peter Beardsley in Hartlepool.
So lovely.
You didn't go to that?
I know.
But you're not on the PR list for that one.
I know.
It's Hartlepool's fourth favourite son.
Canoe man's son. He was there with his canoe. He took out that the canoe took up Pete's seat.
Pete, could you not have sat in the canoe?
Yeah, that's effectively a seat anyway, isn't it?
Oh, amazing. But just to finish with that, we have to mention that Shawcross looked brilliant at the back.
Yeah.
And I think that what you said there, Lucas, people will now be aware of Watford being a good side. So when teams
I think it's the making of a good back three. Zouma, Shawcross and Wimmer. There's a decent making of a back three worth talking about.
Zouma had a good game. And I think when teams go to Stoke, when teams go to Watford, they'll think, well, just, we need to defend here. Because Watford have a bit going forward, don't get me wrong, but you can still get at them. They're not one of the top six sides. And I think Stoke scoring fairly early on at about the 16th minute, then the rest of the game was kind of set up for them. Hit them on the break, play defensively and be solid. And Hughes had them drilled, and it was a much better performance.
Well, that's what Marco Silva alluded to. He said this was a different type of challenge for us.
Yes.
And we have to learn from it. We have to work out how we deal with this type of game.
Yeah.
Because if you are coming up against a team, and the way I interpreted that with Marco Silva was that he was probably saying, well, look, the fans are getting to the point now where there's a bit of expectation when we go at home. And we were all saying we thought Watford would be favourite for that game. They probably were favourites going into it. Yet, as you say, Marco, Stoke score an early one. They're quite, I mean, Stoke aren't as robust as they have been in years gone by, but they are still fairly robust.
they're going to find it hard. They need to work out how they're going to sort that out. And you would think with a player like Richarlison on form, they would be able to unlock that door. But he's, last couple of games, he's missed chances and he's not been quite on point.
Yeah, there we are. Talking of on point, we're going to talk about correspondence with Peter Donaldson and more after the break.
It was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just went, whoop.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It is now time for correspondence with Peter Donaldson.
It is time for correspondence with Peter Donaldson. That's my name. Do wear it out. Hello, Zane Pritchard. Hello there, Ramblers. Apologies if I've missed the boat with this, but I'd like to allude back to your chat. Can you allude back to a chat about games being stopped for peculiar reasons? Sky Sports News ran a story a few weeks ago about a game that was taking place in the lower leagues of France. The pitch was located directly next to an elderly woman's house. And during the game, the ball kept on being kicked over into her garden. She became so frustrated at having to throw the ball back over time and time again, so she decided to take matters into her own hands. She proceeded to march onto the pitch with a plastic garden chair and take a seat on the halfway line, so the teams could no longer play, resulting in the game being abandoned.
Well, just get rid of her, just move her off.
You can't physically...
Lift her up in the chair.
Well, you're restraining a woman.
Of course you can move, so that's a life ban. Pitch invasion.
Yeah. It's a garden.
Yeah, so that's a life ban, and it's a stewards matter or a police matter, and get rid of it.
I just think it's a beautifully rustic scene. They went down to the boulangerie and enjoyed some.
What sort of security
fromage.
Is there at that game?
I don't know.
Didn't you say like French fourth tier or something?
Yeah,
I thought you.
Probably
I thought
just
you,
a Schofield, to be fair.
I thought you were going to say that they pulled it. She pulled out a knife and was just popping the ball.
Yeah, I was a bit worried.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
People used to do that down my street. If your football went into a certain someone's back garden, yeah, they would pop it.
Yeah,
I remember my dad having a set too with a guy down the road because he wouldn't give our footballs back. Dad went down there and challenged him.
Yeah, challenged him to a knife off.
A knife duel.
Yeah,
there was a guy who used
no,
to
not, there was no knives involved.
There was a guy who lived next to me who was only too keen for you to walk through the house to get the ball. I mean, carry a knife for a different reason, that's what I would say.
Was it the canoe man?
It wasn't the canoe man.
No.
The canoodling man. Hello to Stephen. Hello, gents. Long time listener, first time mailer. Knowing how big fans you all are of the Scottish leagues, I thought I'd send you this gem. I posted it on the Twitter page, actually. I myself have watched it numerous times, and now can assure you it gets funny each time. Did you see the video of Cowden Beath's Jordan Garden? Basically, he tried to header a ball on the floor.
I did see that.
It was a bit of a penalty.
Yeah.
It was bouncing all around the penalty area, the 18-yard box. Yeah. And this guy just tries to head the ball on the floor at the feet of a striker, concedes a penalty.
It was John Terry-esque.
It was fantastic. It was so good.
But the funny thing is, it's the kind of thing that I think John Terry did it once. It's class, isn't
it? That's absolutely brilliant.
But what I like about it is like
he's got a pen.
Well, that's right, because he gets the ball.
It was the kind of thing that Sergio Ramos would do.
It's dangerous play, but you put yourself in danger.
Ramos would do that in a Champions League final. Yeah. Give away a penalty, and then Ronaldo would equalise, and then Ramos would nod the winner in injury time. Like,
the Blue Brazil.
There we are. Yeah. Oh, Cowden Beath, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Blue Brazil.
Well, we're always keen to hear from friends. We're keen to hear from Billy Frendo. Billy Frendo!
He has to be Australian.
In Sydney, Australia.
It sounds like an 80s chocolate bar.
Billy the Frendo. Get yourself a Frendo.
Yeah.
Full of a lattice of chocolate and nuts. A Frendo.
Is that what the guy used to say in your house for getting the ball back?
You got a Frendo! It's under the sofa!
Hey, Frendo, calm down. It's no biggie.
No need to call mum and dad.
It's no biggie.
Yeah. Crystal Palace almost managed to field a team numbered 1-11 in their home game against West Ham on Saturday.
Didn't see that.
Spironi, Ward, Van Aanholt, I can never say Milivojevic.
Oh, it's a tricky one.
Milivojevic.
It is a tricky one.
Tompkins, Dan, Kabay, Loftus-Cheek, Townsend, that's 1-10.
Who would have let him down? Zaha?
Well, they don't have a number 9.
Benteke.
Yeah, exactly. So no number 9. And Zaha at 11 and Schlupp 15. So
Schlupp's 15.
That's okay.
Because
Benteke is the starting number 9.
Yeah. Never mind. It was just a really nice opportunity missed by opportunity missed. So thank you so much to Billy Frendo for that one. I'd love to see a club team a field true 1-11 one day, but I fear that day will never come.
I think you'd be holding your breath a long time for that. Do you want a couple of bits from the Facebook page?
Yeah, yes, please.
Who is it who's got in touch here? Do you know what? I haven't got your name, but someone's got in touch saying that they love the fact that Torquay United manager Gary Owers said his team are not rubbish anymore, in quotes,
after registering their first away win of the season in the National League, which they then followed up by getting beat at home by Hartlepool. So, so now they officially are rubbish again.
Yay. I quite like the name Gary Hours. If you sacked your manager and your team was accused of being lazy, and you'd come out and go, "Don't worry, we're putting in the hours."
I've got a few
more.
That
one, Marcus. Yeah,
thank you very much. Yeah.
This one particularly is fantastic. Ben Bennett said, "My heart at the weekend is at the QPR financial fair play hearing. Harry Redknapp's the only signed, in quotes, one or two players to get QPR promoted, as most of the players on big contracts were already there when they arrived. Those one or two, in quotes, were Danny Simpson, Richard Dunn, Carl Henry, Charlie Austin, Gary O'Neill, Matt Phillips, Javier Chevanton, Oguchi Inewu, Yossi Benayoun, Cole Donaldson, Aaron Hughes, Benoit Asuakoto, Tom Carroll, Nico Kranjčar, De La Torre, Kevin Doyle, Will Keane, Madiba Maiga and Ravel Morrison."
Bare boat. Yeah. Bare boat.
How the chairman did all the hyperbole.
One or two. Even if he said a handful or a few. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. One or two.
Can I just squeeze a few more in?
Please.
It's been good this week. Sam Cooper says, "At the risk of being labelled a little worm of a rambler by Pete Donaldson, I feel I should let you know that he was on the radio on Saturday actively encouraging Halloween-based football puns."
That was not my decision. I was covering for somebody, and the producer, Brian Murphy, decided it was a good idea.
Oh,
Sean Deitch of the Dead. Alien Osman, I guess, right. And Scary Henri.
I enjoyed one little kid who was about 14, texted in Frankenstein. It was a Frankenstein Lampard or something like that.
Okay,
Frankenstein,
right,
yeah. Lampard, enjoy,
yeah. Any Frank will do.
Yeah.
And two more. Stephen Bow says, "Foreign managers, in this case Claude Puel, ruining the future of English football by giving two young English players the chance that neither Shakespeare or Appleton ever did." And I'll finish with this one from Chris Burnham, who says, "It's more of a low light, but I sent in a suggestion for Going for Gold this week and realised I didn't include the answer at the end." He says, "Donaldson-esque admin."
Yeah.
Oh, how's that leaked into the show?
Yeah.
I'm famously bad at admin.
Yeah. You are.
No, admin.
People, I think people can tell just by hearing you speak.
Oh. Oh, having a go at the North East,
isn't
he?
Yeah.
My goodness. Oof. You're a disgrace.
You can't hear this, but I'm just shrugging my shoulders.
Shrugging my shoulders.
Mourinho-esque, you could say. Speaking of that man, masterminded, if we can call it a mastermind, a 1-0 win against Tottenham Hotspur. A huge win for Manchester United. It may have been a bit dull, ladies and gentlemen, but it was a huge win, no doubt about it, to win that
He
game.
Was quite humble in his quote afterwards, wasn't he?
Well, he once said, this was, I think this was 3 years ago maybe, "If we want to win 1-0, I think I can, as it is one of the easiest things in football. It is not so difficult." And that's quite a quote that people often quote about Jose Mourinho, that 1-0 is an easy thing to do in football, which does beg the question why he doesn't wrap up the league every year. But it was a classic Mourinho performance. Jonathan Wilson, who was on the continent last week, he wrote a good piece in, I think it was The Guardian, talking about Mourinho's philosophy and so on and so forth, and just how they prey on errors from the opposition.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Wilson said something along the lines that if you play chicken with Mourinho, if the opposition don't blink, then Mourinho's in a bit of trouble. But that's what Spurs did, didn't they? How did the goal come about? It was a mistake. You know, that's what Mourinho sides basically say. We're not going to make any mistakes. We're going to be so solid and we're going to push you into making errors.
It doesn't make you think that team could be done a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
That's primo 1-0-ery, isn't it?
To be honest with you, when they say English managers don't get a shot at the big jobs, and you do think to yourself that some managers, if they set up in the Premier League, when they get there, they have to be backs to the walls and so on. So when a job comes up, when they want to win every week and play a bit more expensive, they can't do it. Well, after Mourinho, Moyes should have followed Mourinho. Yeah. That's what it should have been. But Dyche could get the job after. He'd be lovely.
Mourinho's got a couple of European Cups in his locker, though, to be fair. I mean,
he shouldn't have those. He can they should be kept
should
at the
club. Taken away from him. Yeah, they're in his locker, just rattling around.
Yeah, he's how many's Roberto Di Matteo got? He's got one.
One, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What's your point?
No, I'm not just taking
you
away. Said,
no, you on record, you want to go on record saying that Roberto Di Matteo is as good a manager as Jose Mourinho?
No, because he's got less.
Fewer, actually.
Fewer. There we go.
But you know that...
Fewer is here.
That's good. The real...
The only thing I wanted to say was that it was a very poor goal to concede from Spurs.
It was a very poor...
And to be fair, they came out afterwards and said so. The old... No one... At the very top level, no one likes to see the old long punt flick-on goal being conceded, do they?
Yeah. I mean, Spurs could have had a goal in Dele Alli, of course, going close not that long before that. And that would have obviously changed the whole complexion of the game.
He should have finished that one off. That was
Marcus. You didn't agree with this, but before we came on there, so why don't you tell everyone why?
Well, you're right.
His skill set,
yeah, I think it wasn't the easiest one to take.
No.
It wasn't an absolute sitter, but yes, when you're playing a game like that,
it's Rosenthal-esque, Marcus, in the lily white strip of Spurs,
Jim Rosenthal. it was interesting before the game when Jeff Shreves was talking to Mourinho and he said, you know, Harry Kane's not playing for Spurs. And Mourinho, who said the previous week he doesn't like managers moaning about injuries and so on, which was a sort of veiled dig at Antonio Conte, immediately says, what are you going to ask Pochettino about us not having Rojo or Carrick or Fellaini or Pogba? Which is
all
a fair...
Shaw.
Yeah. Well, it is a fair point, you know, but obviously Harry Kane is probably more important to Spurs than any of those players are to Manchester United.
Well, and also those players have been out for a while, have they not? Whereas the reason that Harry Kane being injured was news is because it happened just directly before the game.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's essentially why people were talking about it. And also, and it happens when a player happens to be one of the best strikers in the world.
Yeah.
It would be absolutely nonsensical if you're the media and broadcasters everywhere who had spent the last 3 months saying how good Harry Kane was didn't mention it when he was injured. It doesn't make any sense.
And let's be clear, as long as Nemanja Matic is on the field, Mourinho doesn't care who else he's got in that side. He's such a Mourinho player. And he's a brilliant player as well.
He had a good game, didn't he?
Well, he was man of the match. And that's not surprising because that is how crucial a player that is to Mourinho in these games, which will inevitably come along for Manchester United. We know that's what Mourinho likes to do. Spurs have been playing a decent football for a number of years now under Pochettino. Mourinho thinks we will just restrict them from playing. And as I said with Jonathan Wilson's piece, and what we've known from Mourinho as well, that we can deduce ourselves merely by watching him, they wait for the mistakes. And the mistake occurred and they punished them. And so Mourinho thinks, bang, game, set and match. That's perfect. It's a Mourinho sort of mastermind, if you like. You know, and you think, well, yeah, they got 3 points, fair enough. And it was a crucial 3 points because they're only 5 points off Man City now. With Spurs, 8 points off Manchester City. And with the goal difference as well, it's almost like City have got an extra point.
Yeah, and again, it is quite early to talk about that sort of stuff. But having said what you've just said about Mourinho and these big games and trying to close out these 1-0s, as I said already, Jamie Carragher did do a good bit on that, especially Man United away from home, saying you know, if he's going to continue, because there are so many big games in the Premier League now, really, for a team like United. They've got to play City, Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool. So that's 10 games, right? Five of those will be away from home.
Yeah.
His record away from home against the big teams more recently hasn't been that good. So if he wants to chuck away or risk chucking away the equivalent of 15 points, then he's got to be careful, to say the very least, about doing that.
But this is a gamble that he's played for pretty much all of his career.
Yeah, but I just think there are more stronger teams who've got a realistic chance now.
Well, and this will be interesting. So will we hear the quotes from him, you know, come a couple of months' time where they're a little horse, you know, and they're not quite, or something like that. But
Sean Dyche is a little horse.
But a more damning stat is that Spurs have only won once in 16 away matches against top six sides. Now, that's a away game, so obviously if they're winning...
We talk a lot about top six sides now in modern... football parlance.
Yeah. Sort of go, Newcastle aren't involved in that.
Well,
no,
but they talk about, well,
got a game tonight. They've got a game tonight. They can force their way into six.
At the time of recording.
But what I say is that, like, we talk a lot about the versus the six sides a lot more than we ever used to.
Yeah.
It used to be the top four,
didn't it? Now it's like been extended a little bit.
It's a bit more inclusive than
Pete, what was it on the ramble? Top two.
Top one.
Top two. Well, the top six is currently City, United, Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Liverpool, so.
Do Liverpool deserve to be in there?
Well,
we have a very accurate way of deciding that. and it's worked for a very, very long time.
Yeah?
Yeah. The Premier League table.
You are on one today,
yeah,
though.
I know. Who knows after Newcastle play Burnley tonight? You never know.
Indeed, yeah. Well, the Premier League doesn't lie, although the Championship sometimes does.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the beauty of that league.
Don't let Neil Warnock eat you, sir.
Well, we've enjoyed Mr. Warnock's quotes thus far this season, but we're not going to mention him this week. We're going to mention Mick McCarthy, whose quotes we've also enjoyed, and perhaps the best ones yet to come from that lovely man's mouth after Ipswich beat Burton Albion 2-1 away from home. And now, McCarthy, he brought on Burson Chilina or Selina? Chilina.
I'll go with Chilina for
Let's
a
go
laugh.
With Chilina. Mm. Or Selina. he came off the bench and scored the winner with a minute from time. Lovely free kick. And Mick McCarthy was quick to say that that had nothing to do with the fans calling for the Kosovan to be put on during the whole of the second half. I think they were calling for him. McCarthy brought him on with, I don't know, sort of 6 or 7 minutes left, something like that. And he was quick to set the record straight in the press conference after. Mick McCarthy said, and mind my language here, ladies and gentlemen, I don't give a shite about that, obviously, with regards to what the fans were chanting.
This is a voice.
In fact, there's more chance of him not going on when they start telling me what to do. And yes, I am a belligerent fuck. Let's clear that up right now.
Spicy language.
I love the idea of a manager saying, if you keep calling for him, he's going to make me less likely to put him
on. Even if it makes tactical sense.
Yeah. You shouldn't be making decisions on that basis, Mick.
I will turn this fucking car around.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Mick also said about him, the fans all love him. He goes on and he scores the goal and he's the hero. Fabulous. It's hard to know whether he's being sarcastic or not.
Well, true enough. Yeah. Well, when Mick was asked about some fan chatting for him to be sacked, he replied, listen, unless somebody decides otherwise, you've got me. Boring old big nose fucking fart with shite football until May, unless someone decides different. I mean, it's startling stuff. Never do you get such an admission, really, from managers.
He's gotten more entertaining as he's gotten older, I think.
I don't mind Big Mick. I find him interesting. I like him the same way I like Neil Warnock.
Yeah.
But he has been there for 5 years now. You wonder if the Ipswich Town fans have done their time.
Done their duty. Done their duty to God and the Queen.
They've slipped off.
And also, I don't want to cast aspersions. Well, I sort of will.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, one of the best things about Mick McCarthy's career is he went to Lyon to play.
What did he?
In the late 80s.
Right.
But he was only there for 10 games. Now, I know nothing about that spell, but I kind of wonder if he was like, nah.
Yeah.
This is rubbish.
Too hot. You do a football.
Oh, play double figures now. I think I know.
Can I get a Sunday paper?
What I like about it is, like, if you sort of say his defining feature, it's not his fucking nose, it's his long head. He's got an extremely long head.
Yeah, he's got. Why can't he have both those things?
Oh, you're all right when I'm. You're upset when I'm upsetting Mick McCarthy. You've been spicy
I'm just
all
saying,
day.
I don't rate him as a player. I don't rate him as a Frenchman.
Didn't rate him as a tourist.
Good old Mick. Anyway, there was an absolute belter of a derby between Birmingham and Villa.
There was.
Talk about that. What a game!
I love it.
Smashing.
The second City derby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with that is you put that on TV. I mean, this is just an example of something that may or may not have happened. You put that on TV when you sat at home with your wife.
So
I'm going to watch this because...
It's the second biggest city in England.
Yeah, it's a big game and they've got the Ramble tomorrow. So, and about half an hour in, you're thinking, I can't justify that. I can. Look, there
I've
is...
I've got shells to put up.
My wife loves sport. She loves football.
Yeah.
I cannot change that. Mm. I'm not gonna jeopardize that for an hour and a half of this nonsense. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he loves it to an extent.
Yeah.
So a very distinctive point.
And fair play to whoever it was who gave those Birmingham City fans all those cardboard clappers. Oh, they used those as missiles. What an amazing surprise.
In the Birmingham derby. Give them another time. Give them when they got Fulham at home or something.
What should we give them? 3 points? Nah. Something to throw at the other player?
Yeah.
Give them that.
Darts.
Yeah.
Let's advertise the darts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Steve Bruce wasn't happy about that, as you can imagine. Steve Cottrell had this to say about his players afterwards. I just said to the players that I love them all. I didn't like them last weekend, but I still love them. Now I'm back to loving them again.
He's an odd fish.
Yeah, a funny fish.
Yeah,
as I would quote you on saying.
Is it the first time this season that two clubs have been managed by a manager with the same Christian name?
Ooh.
I'd like to know that.
Big shout.
Get in touch if not.
Maybe not. Maybe so. And a mention
Steve
for
City Derby.
Steve Derby.
Mentioned for Sheffield United going top of the league after beating Leeds 2-1 away and Wolves lost. Newly promoted Sheffield United.
And I'm pleased about that because I bigged them up on the radio last week and I thought that was going to be the end of that. I said that I think that Chris Wilder could take Sheffield United into the Premier League and turn him into another Burnley.
Yeah.
I think he could do that. Mm. I think he's just so good at that type of stuff. They beat Leeds, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, 2-1 away.
Bit of a derby game.
Absolutely.
At Elland Road, mm-hmm. which looked like it was absolutely pumping, by the way.
On the Friday night lights.
Fantastic.
Would Chris Wilder, will he have his career ruined in 10 years' time by England?
It's potential, isn't it? He can but hope.
Well, surely all English manager going, I want to manage the under-17s. Want to play expansive stuff.
Well, the thing about Chris Wilder, though, I haven't said that, is he's not actually that young, is he?
No, he's not.
He's 50 already, so in 10 years' time, 60...
Hodgson got the job at... What, 83?
But McLaren, what we're talking about here, though, in the context of what you're saying is Steve McLaren had his life ruined, and Gareth Southgate is in the process of having his life ruined, and they're both quite young.
Yeah,
and we don't like to see that.
No, we certainly don't. Yeah. We certainly don't, yeah. But Chris Wilder, he's a good football man.
He is.
But I love the fact that he's a proper Sheffield United fan as well. Mm. And taking them to the top of the league for a newly promoted side, it's brilliant.
Speaking of the England job context and the relative age of different managers that could do the job, there's a scene in the film called Little Miss Sunshine. Have you seen it?
Very long time ago.
Where the granddad's like a bit of a character. He just goes around, do whatever he wants, doesn't give a shit because he's old.
He does a speech about always sleep with everyone you can.
But he also says to his 15-year-old grandson, he said, because basically the grandfather gets caught taking heroin,
right?
And the grandson's confused, and he says to the grandson, "At your age, son, you'd be mad to take heroin, but at my age, you'd be mad not to." Yeah. And if you substitute that for the England job, it's like
The ultimate broken promise.
Yeah, at your age, you'd be mad to take the England job because it'll ruin your life. Yeah. At my age, you might as well just take the money. You might as well just do it. Yeah, so that's basically what Chris Wilder should be thinking.
Well, yeah, because
watch Little Miss Sunshine, Chris Wilder, if you're listening.
Yeah, he's not going to manage a side who play in front of 80,000 if England do still get 80,000 or something like that. You know, so it's a chance. Maybe in 10 years' time, who knows? We are going to talk about the Scottish Premiership after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Donaldson, where's your trousers?
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Friday. How did our better get on this weekend, Luke?
Poorly.
Yeah. Didn't even make it to half-time.
Sean Williams, we hardly knew you. We need a new one for the end of the week, so do get in touch. show@thefootballramble.com. I don't remember signing off agreeing to talk about the Scottish Premiership this week. You've snuck that in there yet again.
Well, Why, naughty boy?
I thought it would be a breath of fresh air for the running order. And Celtic equaled their own 100-year-old British record of 62 domestic games unbeaten.
I mean, that is a lot of games.
And what a way to do it with a 1-1 home draw with Kilmarnock.
that one will live long in the memory, won't it?
Great point for Killy, tell you that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a remarkable achievement, really. I know it's Celtic should win the league. They're going to probably win about 15 in a row or something like that. But still, to go unbeaten for that long, because surely inertia must set in at some point. If it's that easy.
The Gorgies are down in seventh, mate.
They're not doing very well.
No, terrible. You haven't mentioned them at all this season. Can we have a little mention for them?
Well, I'm waiting for them for their title onslaught to start getting.
They said against Hibs as well this season already. I think they have done.
That was in the cup. They lost the other.
Still counts as a defeat. Yeah,
you said down in seventh. That's way more perilous than in any.
I know, right? In any other division, that'd be fine, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They're down in seventh.
Yeah. Oh, Europa League is that?
They ply their trade in a division in which seventh is the lower half of the table.
Yeah, they lost to the Rangers at Murrayfield Stadium. Should have been playing
What's
rugby.
What's going on with Rangers?
What is going on with Rangers? Yeah, they sacked Pedro Caixinha. How little we knew he.
Billy Davis wants the job.
Billy Davis.
Good luck with that, Billy.
Is a possible.
Good luck with that, pal.
Well, with a name like Billy, it would fit, wouldn't it? The Billy Boys, my goodness, and all that kind of crap. Derek McInnes, though, said he was very happy there. Derek McInnes said he was very happy at Aberdeen.
I was present on a radio phone in last week. And there was talk of...
Were you on the radio level?
Who's going to be in that? Well, it's relevant to what we're talking about, Pete. Yeah.
You get plenty of mentions with your radio career, don't you?
I don't mention myself for all the wrong reasons.
Unlike your fucking Halloween puns, whatever it was. And plenty of Aberdeen fans were getting in touch saying, we don't think Derek would be that good in the job. And it's like, oh, really?
Yeah,
not job because you want him to stay at your club. So very, very highly rated. And potentially... And he's come out and said he doesn't want it, hasn't he?
Yeah, he said he was very happy at Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Might well be.
Could you be happier somewhere else? Oh, I don't know. I've just said I'm happy at the moment.
I'm very happy here.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And there's been a little late shout for Alan Pardew to get the Rangers job. He was linked to Rangers before, I think. But he is in the running, according to the...
just get him off the telly.
Just, I don't care what you said. Him.
He was linked with Dynamo Kiev the other day. Send him there.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it? One of the most decorated European clubs? Nah.
Nah,
too
not,
far away.
Yeah,
fuck it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, old Pards and Kiev. Yeah, two peas in a pod, I would have thought.
Do you think that they've got the wrong person? There's a chance. They probably thought they were getting Mel Gibson or something like that.
Manuel Pellegrini.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
Dreadful. What?
Some old so-and-so.
Yeah.
Yeah, my goodness. Hang on a minute. Now it's time for Going for Glold.
It is time for Going for Glold. Thank you very much, Marcus Speller, for the fine introduction. The full title is Going for Glold with Pete Donaldson.
Yes. When they're going for
Glold. Thank you to John Cray for this with these clues. Are you ready to play? Bearing in mind, you've got more of a chance to win.
It's weird, isn't it? We've got less of a chance of one of us getting it,
yeah,
but more of a chance of winning.
I reckon you might get this one.
Okay.
I'm just putting it out
there. I think I consider, this is not a dig at Jim, I consider Marcus a more worthy foe than Jim in this.
No. I would say that Jim is pretty good. Marcus gets more upset when he doesn't get it.
Marcus is very competitive, and that's what I fear him.
I know, yeah.
He'll stop at nothing.
I get upset when none of us get it. I've said this before, and I'll have to say it again.
I was born on the 2nd of September, 1961.
Ooh. Okay, go on. There's no point having a guess at this stage. Could be anyone.
I played in the 1990, 94 and 98 World Cups.
Say that again. So 1990, 94
and 98? Yep. All the 90s ones.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we can't be English then, Marcus.
Yeah.
Ah. It definitely can't be English now.
Stop. Is it Georgie Hadji?
It is not.
Oh!
Stop. Is it Roberto Baggio?
No. I would say it's definitely not an England player. When you say I was named an international tournament's best player in 1987.
Okay.
1987?
And if you don't know where this has been played, it'll be very clear where this has been, where he plied his trade a lot of the time in the next play.
Stop. Oh, no, have I had a stop, have I?
No, you haven't.
No.
Daniel Amakach. No, nonsense.
What are you saying that for?
What are you saying that for?
Nigeria won at 90.
Don't be bringing that to my door.
All right. Jim's a more worthy foe, obviously.
I'm starting to think he might be.
In 1990, I was involved in one of the oddest moments in honorary kickoff history. I stood...
In 1990?
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be any kickoff. I played a lot of football in 1990.
Carry on.
I stood in the centre circle with three referees and an opposing team member when a woman clad only in a thong walked into the field and onto the centre circle. One ref placed the ball on the centre mark, blew his whistle and motioned for her to proceed. She stepped up and calmly took the kick,
stop.
Turned and promptly walked off the field. I politely applauded.
Hey, he said stop.
The ball was replaced on the spot and the game begun.
You can't keep giving him clues after he says stop.
I will give him...
Carlos Valderrama.
It was Carlos Valderrama.
That's outrageous.
What?
He said stop. You have to stop at that point or you're keeping giving him clues.
What do you mean?
I'd be honest.
A woman in a thong walked onto the field.
Honest, that last clue, I had no idea. I just thought, hang on, he played at those three World Cups. In 1987 tournament, I was thinking it has to be either the African Cup of Nations, I'm not sure if it was that year, or Copa America.
I don't know that. I'm appealing this. I'll tell you why. The basic principle is that...
He's spicy there, isn't he, ladies and gentlemen?
If anyone says stop, they are saying... I want to have a guess based on the information I've received up until that
but
point.
I wanted to
not
get rid of the funny thong lady.
Oh, well, you can let him have it because he'll get angry.
Who's angry? I've not seen one angry zombie here.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I play for Montpellier. Laurent Blanc and I were instrumental in keeping Eric Cantona on the team following a dust-up with Jean-Claude Lemieux.
I would have got Montpellier. He played for Montpellier.
I was going to guess. I'll be honest. I was going to guess Histo Stoichkov.
Well, there you go.
Luke, calm down.
I was named South American footballer of the year not once but twice in MLS's inaugural season. I led my team to support a Shield or the Landon Donovan MVP award, which is what I got myself. I graced the cover of international ISS Pro 98 for Nintendo 64.
All blah, checked blah, out blah, right down to the thong.
Pete, who was the name of the submitter of that particular game?
Well, it depends on whether you're going to be nice to him or not.
I will be. I will be very nice.
John Creer.
John, I'm sorry Pete didn't execute your clues as expected.
Up yours, Delors. Thank you for all the people who have got involved recently and sent me clues. I probably have got enough for now, but I'll no doubt do a shout-out for more later on.
But thanks particularly to Chris Burnham, who forgot to put the name in.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, did you put the name on the...
Well, yeah, I'd said it in the highlights earlier, Peter.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Can you?
Yeah, so you can say thanks to him as well.
Oh, thank you to him as well.
And thank you to everybody for listening to this podcast, The Football Ramble. Any more for any more, gentlemen?
I'd like to thank Luke for being here.
Carlos Valderrama.
Someone we can all thank.
Yeah, El Peeb. Is that how you say it? Peeb or Peeb? The kid.
Peeb.
Yeah, the kid.
Yeah. They probably say one in Spain and one in Latin America.
They probably do, yeah.
But thank you very much for your input today, Luke.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Peter, thank you very much for yours.
Thank you.
Jim, up yours. and thank you very much for listening. We'll see you on Friday.
I hope Jim sobers up soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.